So many times when this gospel is used, it's used in conjunction with vocations. But when most of us grew up and they used the word vocation, we immediately thought of priests and nuns. If you had vocation week, you had some exotic missionary from Divine Word who came and talked to us, and we were, wow. But we didn't think about anybody else having vocations. Those of you who couldn't make the cut just got married and had tons of kids. The church never taught that, but it was implied. Well, we have a much broader understanding, I think, of vocation now, whether it's single, brother, sister, monk, nun, deacon, priest. We have a much broader understanding. And so we use that as our context today as we listen to these readings. And one of the things that I've been thinking about for quite a while, and it kind of came to fruition this week, getting ready for this homily, is how do we develop a culture of vocation? How do we develop a culture of vocation, particularly vocations to priesthood and religious life? A lot of the challenge that we are facing in our church right now has to do with what we call a vocation crisis, but I think it's really a culture of vocation crisis, huh? And so a lot of times the culture kind of, no matter what your call in life is, the culture has three things involved. It's what do we see, what do we hear, and what's said. So for example, if you grew up in a family where mom and dad were fighting all the time, and they didn't seem to be very happy, if the things you heard around the house were things like, well, I wish I never married you, or if dad turns to you one day when he's exasperated and says, well, I hope you never get married, you better think about this twice, you're probably not going to run out and get married. Okay? It's the culture of marriage that you're brought up in, huh? Well, even more so, I think this is true when it comes to priesthood. Now, when I was growing up, we had, I think back at it now, and it's astounding. We didn't have, our parish wasn't really large. I suppose that may have been 500 or 600 families, and we had three priests. And we had a lot of different kinds of priests, let me tell you. But we never heard the adults talk about them. It doesn't mean that they were perfect and there weren't things shared, but it was never in front of the kids. Okay, they were always respected and talked to them and appreciated. But that's not so the case nowadays a lot of times when we think about that. And so, and in our home parish, in 11 years, we had 4 vocations to the priesthood. 4 in 11 years. And that is due, in part, every one of us at our first Mass in our church, which is closed and will be torn down this summer, along with the convent and the school, every one of us told the congregation, you are responsible for our vocation. You encouraged us, you invited us, you supported us, you were kind to us. That's why we had so many vocations in such a short period of time. So a lot of times when we look at particularly vocations to the priesthood, we think, well, I don't have those gifts, I don't have those skills. Well, God always equips people. Nobody has the same skill set, but God always equips them. In the same way that maybe when you got married, you'd think, well, I don't know if I can do this. And guess what? God equips you along the way. God helps you to do that. But underneath all of that, though, is what our call is. And the three readings that we had this weekend have three examples to which all of us should be able to relate to. The first reading from the prophet, book of the prophet Isaiah. So Isaiah says, oh, I'm a doomed man. I'm a doomed man. I have unclean lips. So Isaiah didn't think he was fit to be a prophet. And what did we hear happen? An angel of the Lord went and took an ember from the coals that were burning on the altar and touched it to his lips. And he said, see, now I've purged your sin. I've purged your sin. And so then when the Lord said, who's going to go out for us? Isaiah said, here I am, send me. God removed that unworthiness. The second example we have in the second reading today is Paul. You all know Paul's story. Paul was a person who killed Christians. He was really unworthy. And if you heard, if you're listening to the reading that Lewis read, he said, as one me who was born, one born abnormally. What does that mean? That Paul was a breech birth? No. What it means is that he came into this sideways. He was a persecutor. And he came in and he had a conversion experience, and look what God did with him. Where would we be without Paul's writings today? He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. What a great way to look at life. And then we have today's great gospel. I always like to imagine these gospels really in their regular setting. And so here's Jesus, who is basically a city boy, talking to these veteran fishermen and telling them what they should do. You know, Simon, put out into deep water. I think Simon should have said, why don't you go pound sand? But he didn't do that. And so we heard what happened. They put out into deep water, lowered their nets. They got a ton of fish in. The boats are sinking. And Simon, finally, it sunk in what was going on. He dropped to his knees and he said, depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. And Jesus says, don't worry about it. From now on, you're going to be catching men. I got plans for you. I think that those are the things that we need to think about when we talk about a culture of vocation. But there's one other thing that I think is a significant point, and it's this. And it comes to us from this great line. He said to Simon, put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch. Every call involves a risk. Every call involves a risk. I don't care what it is. Marriage, single life, priesthood, sister, whatever it is. There's a risk involved. So if your life, or particularly your religious life, seems to be kind of boring and don't know what's going on with it, and well, it's probably because you need to put out into deep water. There's something very safe about staying in the shallow end of the pool. Take it from somebody who's flunked 5 swim classes. You can always touch bottom. If you feel like you're not safe, there's always the side, you know. But Jesus said, put out into deep water. When you get out into deep water, you have to trust. It's not about you or it's your skills. It's about trusting. And that is the risk factor that happens in every vocation that we have, but it certainly is true in our spiritual life when we think about it. Vocations, particularly the crisis that we talk about now, I think is really a crisis of a culture of vocations. There were many, many years for whom families were thrilled to have sons and daughters go to the convent, go to religious life. But not so nowadays. There's two guys that I knew personally whose parents were absolutely furious that they went to the seminary. And I may have told you the story of one before, the guy who had been really close to his grandmother, and she had left him a large estate. And the parents figured out with a lawyer somehow, they got this figured out, that they got control of the estate, and they told him that they would give him his money back if he left the seminary. And then we wonder why we don't have clergy today. So I think that one of the things we look at is, how does it start at home? And something that I read this week, in fact, I posted it, if you saw it, on Facebook, to me kind of brings it all home. It starts when a family doesn't make it a priority to go to church. So I thought about us 4 guys from our home parish who are priests. We had a lot of other vocations, but the 4 in 4 years are the guys that I knew. Okay, my dad wasn't Catholic. One of the other guys was a convert, and then 2 Catholics. But what do we have in common? We never missed church. Our families were involved. The church was the center of everything that we did. So it starts when a family doesn't make church a priority, and then the next generation makes it less of a priority. And then the next generation, it's no priority at all. And the 4th generation doesn't even have a concept about who God is. And you know what? I see that played out at wakes and funerals regularly. You got Grandma laying in the casket with her rosary in her hands, card-carrying Catholic, would never miss church. And then you can see the generations. And finally, the great-grandkids come into church, and they're going, they've never been in a church before. They don't know what it looks like. Do you have any idea how hard it is? Deaths are hard enough. I always say this at funerals, if you have faith. Do you know how hard it is when you receive a family that they're on that 3rd or 4th generation? They have nothing to go on. Nothing to go on. That's not the church's fault. That's the fault of a culture of vocations. And that's something that I think rural parishes have the best chance of changing. We have relationships. We know each other. We have smaller communities. In some churches, the communion distributor never recognizes the same person coming to communion because there's so many people. We don't have that problem here. We might know too much about each other, but that's wonderful. That's how we can build a culture of vocations. That's how we can make sure that all these little linoleum lizards in here are able to receive the sacraments in the future, and their kids and their kids' kids. So as we continue to pray, we think about what does it mean for us to develop that culture of vocations. I want to end by saying this. Those of you who have been to our Holy Thursday Mass of the Lord's Supper in the pastorate know that every year I do a rededication at that Mass. And at that time, the first thing I do is I apologize to the congregation for any times that I've hurt them or made them angry or failed them. I am not perfect. I can tell you all kinds of my lists of foibles. But the second part is that this is harder than I ever imagined it would be. But the third part is there's nothing that I would rather do. I hope you feel the same way about your marriages. God, I didn't think it was going to be this hard, especially when you got kids who are teenagers. But I hope that you can't imagine ever doing anything else. That's your vocation. That's your call. That's what this is about. So as we continue and get ready for the Lenten season, let's think about our part. It doesn't make any difference what your age is, if you never had kids or if your kids are all grown. We all participate in a culture of vocation. Let's ask God to help us to do our part as we strengthen the church, strengthen our families, and look to the future of our faith. May God bless us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.